Thank you guys for being patient this morning with us. The Spirit takes over, and yeah, we just obey. We say, do what you need to do, Spirit. We submit. Thank you for submitting with me. Look at that strong woman. Yay! May she find a stronger husband. Guys, this morning I'm excited to share with you. Today is going to be a bit different. We're going to have lots of people coming up to share. Welcome to Activation Sunday. What is Activation Sunday? Hey? The activation in the church. Come on, eh? May she get a husband who knows this stuff as well. Yeah, so Activation Sunday is all about why we come to church, what we do, and why is it important for us to be part of this family. So we have Activation Sunday this morning. I'm just going to go into scripture immediately. Yeah, Father, thank you that we can, just bow our knees and bow our hearts before you this morning. For you are worthy, you are King, you are Lord, and we submit to your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Psalm 84, verse 10, we read one of the most profound psalms that we, or some the scripture that we often quote so lovely, is to say, it's better for a day, for it's a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. For I'll rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord to dwell in tents of the wicked. So what the sons of Korah is writing you, the sons of Korah are the worshippers during that time. They were the worshippers. And they wrote this psalm, Psalm 84. The title is, My Soul Longs for the Courts of the Lord. When we served at Passion this year, I was like, why would we be called door holders? And then later on, as we were going through our induction, we realized that a door holder is not a volunteer, because when we're volunteering for something, it's saying that I'm giving something, eh? But when we're serving in the house of the Lord, is that I'm receiving something, isn't that? Because when I serve in the capacity which the Lord has called me to, I receive something from the Lord. And that's why we serve in the house of the Lord. And the sons of Korah really understood that. And that's why they're saying they don't want to dwell in the tents of the wicked, because the tent of the wicked was where all the mischief and stuff happened. All the backstabbing during that time. And as they were traveling and singing praises to the Lord, and this psalm is actually one of the psalms that they sing when they go up into Jerusalem. As they pilgrim, I don't know what it is in English now. Pilgrim to Jerusalem every time. Pilgrimage, that word. And that is why they're singing this, that they rather want to be a doorkeeper, because when they're in the house of the Lord, they receive something. And that's important for us, because we think when we volunteer in church, if I have to do the coffee or anything like that, I'm volunteering, I'm giving my time. Yes, you are, and we appreciate that. But the biggest fact is that you are receiving. How many thank yous are you receiving that day? Hey? Just a practical example. And then, before I go into the detail, let's go to Hebrews 6, where the author of Hebrew writes, verse 10, and when we planted Shofar Boston And I, we had to appoint some leaders. This was the first thing that I wrote to them, the first letter that I wrote. I started off with this to say to them, for the Lord, for God is not unjust, so to overlook the work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And it's exactly what eldership is about. And that's why this morning when I felt the Lord calling us as elders to stand in the gap, because that is our primary function in this church, is to stand in the gap for our loved ones. I don't want to call it our congregants, because each one of you are family to me. And if you're going through a difficult time, I feel it. And as we were praying in the beginning of the month, we really experienced the Lord tugging our hearts for each and every one of you. And that's this morning for us. And that's how I started off this letter to the leaders. And I said, for the Lord, your God, for God is not unjust. What is the author saying to you? God is a just God. And what he says and what he will do, he will do. And one of those things is when you serve him and when you work for him, that he will show the love for the people around us by serving one another. And that's why we serve. That's why we do what we do in this church. It's not an event. We're not here because it's an event and Sunday. But when the body of believers comes together, there are practical things that need to happen. And one of those practical things are serving one another. And let me take us back before I call up the people that's going to speak this morning to the next slide. Thank you, Adan, for helping me. And one of those things is the basis of this church, the foundation on which the church is built, and this scripture is what drives it. Is that we know in Matthew 22 where Jesus is having a conversation, and then one of the lawyers immediately stood up. Whose lawyer is in this house? Charlene, almost. And one of the lawyers stood up and asked Jesus this question. And the question that he asked Jesus was to trick him into saying something that would be out of line, first of all, that they could actually go and say, we got you. But then Jesus responded nicely and he said to them, I'm going to read the whole passage. I didn't put the whole passage up there, but I just feel to read it. But when the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together and one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the greatest commandment. And the second is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. We know what Jesus is doing there. He's taking them back to the law that he gave Moses. The law that Jesus gave Moses speaks about, I'm the Lord your God who've taken you out of Egypt. And therefore you will have no other God besides me. You shall not bow your knee to any other God because I, the Lord, am a jealous God. And I will curse you into the third and the fourth generation. But I will cause blessing unto thousands and thousands and thousand generations. So what is Jesus doing here? He's saying to them, you think that I'm here to replace the law or to preach something different, but what I'm here to do is to bring it into fulfillment. And then he gives them two. He sums it up. He takes the first five verses. When you read Exodus 20, it speaks about the love that we have for God. If we love God with everything in us, we won't worship any other God. We won't bow our knees before any other God. And then it goes on, ek sal nie my naaste se huis hinker. Hey, Afrikaans is so beautiful. But I won't desire of wat begeer? It's a desire, such a beautiful word. But wat begeer? Covet. I won't covet the house of my neighbor or my neighbor's wife or children or anything that belongs to my neighbor. Ek sal nie die huis begeer of hinker nie. Ek sal nie die naaste se vrou begeer of hinker nie. Hey? Afrikaans is such a beautiful language. If you can, go read it in Afrikaans. It's very beautiful. But coming back to that is, Jesus came, he said, I've come to serve and not be served. I've come to bring liberty and set the captives free. And one thing that we are able to do is here to connect people to God by showing them God and saying, this is the God that we serve in this church. By loving and serving and giving acts of love to one another. And once people see that, they will automatically connect to one another. And when they connect to one another, that is when community is established. And that's exactly what the Lord has called us to do in this church. Okay, I think my wife just stepped out of there quickly, but I'll give her just now time. Oh yes, she's back. Okay, over to this beautiful woman that the Lord has blessed me with.
Update me, where are we in the...
On your page.
On my page, wonderful. I'm multitasking, guys, so bear with me. I pretty much shared it all earlier, that's why I did already. As you know, Shofar Boston, our heart, and what we really feel God's called us to is to connect people to God and connecting people to people. And that makes us a family. You've heard me say it. I've said it many, many, many times, but that's how you know who's the children of a house when you go visit a house. It's usually the ones that are have chores to do. But serving in this house is not a chore. Amen? Amen. And so, God's really called us to love one another. And that is how we are known, is by our love for one another. If you were at Meet and Eat this past week, you would have heard my story of how there's many, many stories, but of how when we are serving one another, when we are there for one another, it's a testimony to people around us. So I shared the story of when I was in hospital and there was just so many of you phoning and offering help and bringing food and helping, and the other ladies in the ward were just like, who are you? Are you like someone famous or something? And I was like, no, really not at all. It's just my church people. And she was blown away. She's like, that's not what I know of church. That's not what I know of church family. I can't even be honest with people about how I'm really doing because I feel I've got to keep up a certain appearance. And I was just so blessed to say, well, this is what's the norm in our, like, I'm not someone special. This is just how we are with one another. And like that scripture says in Matthew 22, we're called to love God first. And the same way we desire that closeness with him, that relationship with him, that fellowship with him, we're called to love one another. And we thirst for him, but we must also long for that fellowship and that love and serving and loving and being his hands and feet for one another. And that's part of our heart. It's part of what we do. Lots of people have asked us along the way on the Shofar Boston journey, like, are you guys not tired? You're juggling this and work. And then I would always just say, I'm so blessed. Like, I'm not just saying that as a cliche, but like, I've received so much more than what I even give in this church family. So may we continue being that for one another. Let's continue practically serving one another.
Thank you, love. Yeah, so with that being said, Theo is currently the elder taking care of our kids' church. Well done, Theo. I'm so proud of you. So Theo is going to share what's happening there.
Good morning again, everyone. So I'm excited to tell you a bit about Kids Church. But firstly, why is it important? I was just reminded of the portion of Scripture where the children come to Jesus, and the first reaction of the disciples was, no, the children must stay away. They must stand on that side. Let the adults spend time with Jesus. And Jesus rebuked them and he said, no, let the children come. And it's just such a beautiful reminder of, for me, ooh, this is very loud, of how the children are really important to God. And I guess the next reminder for me is that if you think of trees that grow, we all probably, we're more spiritually mature. We're like these trees that have already grown. But what's happening there is there are very small, the Giddies Church is there, by the way. there are very small trees there, and they still need to be nurtured. They need to be grown. Someone needs to teach them to pray. Someone needs to teach them who God is, to love Jesus. We all know that. We're learning advanced maths, as you know, whatever it is. But someone needs to teach them to take those first steps spiritually. And I must admit, I initially thought that, you know, kids' churches, you know, you have to sing those happy clappy songs and all of those things, and you really have to be this excited person. But you really have to have a heart to see the children grow. So I actually want to invite two groups of people to really strongly consider your involvement in children's church. And the first one might sound very obvious, but it's not always, but it is the parents. If you have a child growing up, I really want to invite you, and I almost want to say we want to partner with you in discipling your children. And there's that old saying of it takes a community to raise a child. And I really, that's my vision for Children's Church, is where we can all learn from each other how to raise our kids. Maybe this one parent has this amazing ability to disciple their children. Please come and teach the other parents, or let us learn from one another. We also have incredible resources available already. The church has it. We've got weekly things that are available for the parents. So if you're part of the kids' church, it's there and available for you, so that whatever we teach there's a lot more material that we can't cover it all just on one Sunday. So throughout the week, there's lots of activities and things that you can do with your kids, and all of that is available for you. So if you are just on the roster once every whatever it is, please do come, bring what you have, learn from us and the other people, not that I'm this expert, but also have access to the material. We also have, I guess, people with years and years of experience just down the road in Durbanville, and we really want to tap into help, ask them to help us. How do we disciple our kids? So that's the first group of people. I almost want to say, if you are a parent and your child is in kids' church, if you're discipling them, please do consider being on the roster once every now and again. If we've got lots of children, so you've got lots of parents, so you won't be on every week. But then also, secondly, even if you're not there, even if you have had kids or you've never had kids, or it really doesn't matter, but if you have a heart for nurturing or seeing people grow, but not just the adults, this is the place for you. And I guess I've got a heart to see people grow, but I never knew that. I guess God unlocked something in my heart to also see it for the children. It only happened after I joined, though. but God is so faithful also to reveal that to you. So I really want to extend the invite. So if anyone is interested or you just want to know more, please come and speak to me afterwards. I'd love to tell you more of the details, but the heart was the important part.
I guess I'm next. Good morning, everyone. You can actually respond back, eh? I always say that. Let's try that again. Good morning. I'm going to try not to be long. So I am the elder in charge. What's Hanan? What is going on here? Bless your heart. no worries. It's the house of the Lord. My name is Samuel Kitenge, and I am the elder in charge of all things praise and worship ministry, media, and youth / young adults. That's a lot of things. But I wanted to start off speaking about worship. And I don't really want to speak about worship as seeing the team here holding guitars, singing songs. I want to speak about worship not in terms of music. I want to speak about worship as a ministry overall. But I really wanted to start by sharing. I was 19 when I was in the university back home. For those of you who don't know, I'm originally from the Congo DRC. And then out of the blue, the one day God just told me, he said, he spoke over like a year period. He said, pack your stuff and then move to Joburg. I said, what, why? Why am I moving to Joburg? He never gave me any other reason other than, I want you there and you are going to go serve my local church there for the next 10 years. I said, wait, what? At that point, I was already planted in another church. I was a youth leader. I was a worship leader. I had a lot going on. And God just said, pack your stuff. I want you to move to South Africa. And the purpose I'm sending you there for is one, go and serve my local church there for the next 10 years. And you are going to give it your sweat and blood regardless of how you are treated in every church you are planted. I was reflecting on it 2 weeks ago when I was when I took my Sabbath, because that Sunday was exactly 10 years that I moved here. And reflecting on the journey, I've been from one church to another, busy with so many things. So everything that can possibly be done in church, I have done it. And here's one thing I realized. Responding to the kingdom of God through serving is what unlocks the wealth of what it means to be a believer. Outside of serving one another and serving each other in the local church, we will never truly experience the depth of who our God is. Because Christ laid the foundation. He came to serve us. That's why he's the Messiah. He came as a king to serve. And the invitation that God has upon each and every one of us is that we learn to serve each other by being present in what is happening in the church, in the local church, and so on. And there's also something beautiful. Scripture says that those that approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And I have found out that the first person to ever organize an awards event or scene is God. He's very intentional by rewarding our faithfulness, obedience, and diligence, by rewarding us in this life before we get to the next. Is that our serving, us showing up in church, doing praise and worship, whatever you name it, even though we're doing it from a selfless place, but there is a way in which God begins to reward us here on earth, here, through so many various aspects of lives. And I stand here as a testimony to that, that I have seen my life completely change simply because I have been diligent here by serving. I tell people, my corporate job as a project manager pays for the bills. This here sustains my life. Outside of this, I don't know what my life looks like out there. So sometimes with capacity, without capacity, I'll be like, you know what? Let's just go do this. If this is not going to kill me, at least I'll die serving. Right? So I want to encourage you with that. And I think in the aspect of that, of even praise and worship, one thing that you will see so many times in churches, you know, praise and worship leaders, they become the cool kids. They don't hang out with other people. They just come, sing their songs, and they are in what they call it the green room. You know, always working with tea and coffee. They don't greet people. That's not the culture that we have here. We always when we have band night, I always tell the team, let's remember the Levites who, even though conducting praise and worship and facilitating a space where God could meet his people, that was only like 5% of what they did. they were out here handling everything else, hanging out with people, making coffee, being part of community. And you will see that the way with the people that are part of the band here, you will find them equally everywhere, because we are one community. And sometimes us as worshipers, we just know, one of the culture that we have in the team is that we just know when to step back, because sometimes we be a leading worship and we feel like God is facilitating an encounter through someone who's sitting way at the back there. And we just know that when that happens, all the beautiful voices and the beautiful chords and whatever, like, let's just stop everything, because this is not about us. It's about God in the end. And I want to encourage you and say, if you really have a heart to serve in the music team as part of the overall worship ministry, please consider that and join us. But to a certain extent, you must at least know how to sing. Let's start there. I don't want to say that everybody is welcome, but at least know how to maintain a note. Like, right? If you can just at least do your do re mi, we will be on our way somewhere. We're not saying be perfect, but at least bring something. Like, right? Bring something that we can work with. Like, I understand kids' church, they have small trees. Ours needs to be a bit taller. Like, the trees that we want here, there needs to be at least somewhere there musically, right? So that there needs to be a level of agreement, right? In at least musically. Okay. I'm getting there now. Okay. So, part of the worship team as well, you have our media and sound team. That is subheaded by the beautiful Richard at the back there. And if you want to be part of the praise and worship team and you cannot maintain a note, we will teach you how to manage it. We will teach you how to manage the notes from the back, right? And that, you know, just managing sound and media. We also do media, you know, everything that is, you know, social media and communications, you know. Currently, Ethan is going to be running with that moving forward. But if this is something, where is the sound? If this is something you are interested in, if that is something you are interested in, please come and join us. And I just want to say, when we speak about the praise and worship ministry at Shofar Boston, it is not the people that stand here. We are a collective of people that do media, that do sound, that do all of that. That is the praise and worship team. It is not Devonisha, Ernest, or myself. The worship team is all of those people. So that's why when we have band night, all of that join. A few things to remember is that if you're going to be, so many other churches, when they do music ministry, they only show up on a Sunday morning and they do their practice and then they go for the service. Here we do it a bit differently. If you're going to be part of the worship team, you're going to have to take an evening out to come and practice with us, because we rehearse. Currently, our life group is our band practice on a Wednesday evening. Most of the team members came here. We do devotion, we pray together, and then we get into the musical part of doing this, right? So please don't feel intimidated. Even if you feel like you haven't sung in a long time, or you don't know how to start off with media, you know, we are all learning together and we are all growing together. Thank you. And then Devonisha is just going to tell you a bit about Amplified, where we do the amazing things. So
I hate that you're giving me this mic. So Amplified is on a Friday. Amplified is young adults. Young adults on a Friday. And what we do there, why it's important, is we are actually in a very particular space as Amplified, because we have a lot of people who come to Christ in that gap, right? With the babies, you're actually raising unbelievers, right? But there's a point in Amplify where people decide to be Christians, and it's a very tender space. So it is young adults from ages high school to early 40s, and If you feel called to come to Young Adults, please come and join us. We speak about the Lord. Sometimes we play games. We had a movie night quite recently with a Journey of Grace, another youth from another church. It's lots of fun, but it is another level of small group. It's a small group for 20-something-year-olds. I also just want to share in terms of serving, this is my 1 year anniversary with Boston today. and I walked into the church last year. Tani Rieta greeted me at the door like she greets so many people. And woo, I knew that this was my church because she remembered my name. You know, because it's a long name, and just to have someone remember it was very special. But on that very first day, Richard accidentally heard that I could sing. I was taken to Sam, and on the next Sunday, I was serving. And so, first song was Christ and Christ Crucified. And so, for a year, I've been in service in this church, and it's exactly what everyone is sharing. There's something that happens that is unlocked when you serve in the church. There's something about love being reflected outward, because love is an outward action, right? When you're focusing on other people, when you are serving them, loving them, you will see the fullness of love. So, if you have a heart for discipleship, if you have a heart for discipleship, please join Young Adults. As you said, this is a tender space, but it's with people who can grapple with the content of the Bible. We can grapple with serious conversations. If you have a heart for discipleship, please come and join us. If you have a heart for discipleship in terms of actually running the specific small group, it's an incredible group. They're on fire for God. It's lovely to see when we have our worship evenings. We had the most incredible worship evening in the beginning of the year. And to see how God is working in the youth of our church is incredible. So please join us for Amplified. Who's the next? Lizard.
Okay. Hopefully mine's not as long, very short and sweet. But it's intercession. It's on a Thursday evening here at church at 7 o'clock. And, I really want to encourage you there's two people or two groups as well that I really want to encourage you with. If I wouldn't say if you're struggling to hear the voice of the Lord, but if you're uncertain if you are hearing the Lord's voices, come and join us. Because when there's more than one people and you're praying, and we're praying for the church, we're praying for vision, and we're even praying for whatever, what you're going through, we really put it before the Lord's feet. And sometimes the Lord reveals something to you, and then you may be afraid of just praying it, because it's easier praying it with someone that you really know or really have trust in. But if you sitting with people that I would almost, you become like family afterwards, but there's almost that fear of, but I'm feeling this in my heart, I want to pray this, but you're not really sure, is it now your own thoughts or is it really the Lord speaking to you? So so come and join us. You'll see that some people will pray that, and then you know, but sure, the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is telling me the same thing that it's telling Tani Rieta. So I know we are in agreement. And when Bradley said I must kind of just speak a little bit about that, I really sat with the Lord and just asked him, sure, but how do you encourage people to come and pray? You know, it's a very personal thing, and especially for church as well. Like it's quite for. I remember my first time; it was really daunting. You know, you're sitting with people you don't really know them. Now you really don't, like, do they expect me to pray, or can I just sit there and listen and just amen, 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 and just agree. And that's also okay. And then, the one thing that just, that the Lord revealed was just that Peter was in the prison and the church came together and the church prayed. And so just the result of praying, earnestly praying for him, that miracles happened for him. And then one thing that I just, even on that scripture, I read a book from Daniel Kolenda, which says intercession is a privilege that belongs exclusively to man. So that's our thing. That's the only thing that we can give one another as well. It's such a privilege to pray for you guys, whatever you're going through. So if you want to be a part of that, praying for each and every one of our members, if we know about someone that's going through a rough time, we put you at the feet of Jesus, and we're really trusting the Lord. So if that's your heart, so the first group is if you're really uncertain of, if you're really hearing the voice of the Lord, please do come and join us. And then also just people that love praying, like if you really want to pray for people, if you really want to press in to that gap for people, because like I said, that's such a blessing to, it's not a physical thing that you can give people, but it's such a blessing to pray for people and afterwards hearing the testimonies of how the Lord just came through and that they got their breakthroughs. So I'm really encouraging you guys to come and join us.
Okay, so Bradley asked me to share a bit on the small groups. Actually, life group. I keep on saying small group, but it's life group. I had an interesting discussion with Paul also in the week regarding life groups, and there is 4 life groups, I think, in the church. So a life group is basically where we are in a smaller group than we are here, but still it's a place where we do not forsake the gathering of the saints, because it's a place where we encourage each other, we direct each other to the Lord. But it's also a place where we belong, a place where we stir each other up, a place where we do life together. Before we came to this church, we were in our other community. So I don't know if you have switched communities yet, but it's difficult and it takes long. And you have to get your mindset around, okay, this is my new community. And I always know if I've completely slotted into a community is when there is, let's say a rugby match, or you want to buy with someone, like who's the immediate people that you want to invite? If your car breaks down on the N1, who's that immediate people that you call? And that's supposed to be our life groups, because we share intentional time together. And it's not only just on a Wednesday, it's whenever, because you do life together. You're in each other's houses, you eat each other's food. Like if I visit Bradley, I don't have to ask him, can I take something out of your fridge? Like I'm supposed to. Don't invite Sam. He might not have anything left after he's there. No, but it's a place where you can bring your washing to someone and just wash your clothes, you know. That's a true story. So it's a place where we do life together. So I do want to encourage you, if you're not in a life group, please find out where the life groups are, slot into the life groups, because it's truly a place where we do life together. But importantly, where we encourage each other, where we challenge each other, where we all look like the Lord. I just want to share 2 scriptures regarding that. It's in, the first one is Hebrews 10:24-25. We all know it, but I'm just sharing it again. And let us all consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I don't know who that is. If it's anyone here, that's for you. But be encouraged. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Then there's another verse in Hebrews 3, verse 12-13. See it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has sinful unbelieving hearts that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we recently had a friend that she like wanted to commit suicide, and we obviously not with that community or with in that circle anymore, but I feel it's if we are intentional about getting to know each other, being in each other's homes, then we would suspect like this person is not in a good stage of their life. So that for me is always that's our doing life together is like we need to like figure out, oh, Sam looks off today, something is happening. That's truly, truly doing life together and being each other's lives.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah. So this morning was really just a time where I really want you to hear from the people who actually live these ministries out. And there's a few other ministries, but we're not going to touch on them now. But if you would like to know more, there's a mom's group happening as well, a mother's ministry. There's missions, obviously, that we do. We go to the nations or our local people around us. We will be doing later this year. We'll be going back to Shofar Urban. And we'll be sharing there and doing an outreach there. And sure, if you want to, this year as we're going to grow in the ways of discipleship, Theo and Nyameka will be leading up that ministry. As Devanisha also said, when someone comes to the younger adults, it's a crucial time in their lives. But you also get an unbeliever walking in here and not going to the younger adults, and then how are we going to receive, but are we going to also, when that person says yes to Jesus, what now? Yeah, so cool. Nandi, do you want to share 2 minutes quickly? Okay.
Cool. Or anything else? Yeah, so we also have a mom's group going on, because I don't know if you've noticed, but this church is baby booming. but yeah, I just actually add the scripture that I wanted to share. Moms will know that life with kids, it looks a little bit different. Your relationship with everybody, but also with the Lord, tends to look a little bit different. But it's not impossible, okay? Different is not always bad. It stretches us, and it helps us to also get to know the Lord in the many, many magnificent facets that he is, and he's unlimited. So get that lie out of your mind. If you have kids, life will change, but he does not stop, okay? So, what we're trying to do also just with Moms Group is to create a space for us as moms to still receive and connect with God and with people. So oftentimes we struggle with that it's not always as effective as before because there are some distracting factors, but we're still going to try. And I just want to read this verse to encourage us. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, the Bible says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So we want to also just together come together as a group to try and find that, gently leading us, and to collectively encourage each other, share what our struggles, learn from those that's maybe been through it, that's tried something else, so and just to have fun together. So if you want to get involved with that, or if you're going to have a child, or if you have a child that we don't know, you're welcome to join us. Speak to me. We try and meet up once a week, but we have failed in that for the last couple of weeks, and now church camp is coming up, but we see each other regularly and share some encouragement and prayers. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Nandi. I can really testify Mom's Group is really good. When my wife goes there, it's really amazing to receive her back. Yeah, so it's good. Which is not a bad thing. Encouraged, yeah, that's... No. She comes back encouraged. Clarification. Okay, guys, I know we have a long service today, but the Lord took over the service. Can I get 5 or 10 more minutes of your time, please? Just 5 or 10 more minutes. Is that in agreement? Okay, cool. Next topic that we're going to just go and speak into, Global Prayer and Fast, which is happening starting tomorrow. Yes, who's excited? Hey, I'm excited. So Global Prayer and Fast is starting tomorrow. As a church family, we will be fasting from tomorrow morning. If you can, obviously, we do have pregnant ladies and there's medical stuff. Please look after yourself. That's the first thing that I want to say. If you need to eat, please do eat. Please don't do it as a starvation. The one thing that's very important with fasting is that we dedicate that time that we were spent eating to the Lord. So from tomorrow onwards, every evening, around about 7 to, I think, 8, we'll open up the church. We'll create a space where people can just be. There's not going to be a band in front. There's not going to be someone praying out loud. You're going to come and you're going to spend time with the Lord. We're just going to create the space for people, because 7 to 8 is usually your time you have dinner with your family. And for us also not to feel like, hey, what I'm going to do now is also to come together. Here's going to be a few people. We're going to have communion table ready. So there will be a communion table so you can take communion whenever you feel like it. There will be some background music playing. No one is going to come to talk. We're going to come to pray and spend time with the Lord. So that's the thing. And then on Wednesday evening, around about, say, 6:30 or 6:30 for 7, we'll have our prayer and worship evening, which is our monthly one that we usually have, but we're going to do it as a big group, and we're going to just end it, break the fast together, have communion together, and then we're going to eat together. We're going to bring and share. Okay. Who's excited for that? To eat. But, yeah, so fasting is not a starvation. Fasting is a time where we really lay down our fleshly desires before the Lord. And if you read, there's a few passages in the Bible. You can go on to Right Now Media, find a few resources. If you sign up this afternoon, please find some resources and then read through it, understand. Isaiah 58 speaks also about fasting, and then in Matthew it also speaks about fasting. There's a few places where the Lord really speaks about fasting, and one of those things are that it's a time dedicated to the Lord where we say, God, this is what I'm giving up. I'm saying to my body and to everything that I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that comes from the mouth of from God. Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was tempted by the enemy, but he would stand the test. So the reason why we fast is to say to my body, I'm in control. My spirit is in control. You're not in control. My flesh is not in control. Paul constantly speaks about the flesh and the spirit being in turmoil with one another, clashing with each other. So this is the time where you're going to say to your spirit, you're in control. Okay, so the heart behind this is not, like I say, we encourage people to do a water fast. So only to drink water for 3 days. But I know medically it's also not possible. But obviously, if it is that you have medical reasons, please eat in the morning. You have to drink your tablets. Please then eat. But try to give up something that's really dear to you. If your phone takes most of your time, try to say no to social media for during that time. Okay, cool. I'm going to share a clip that Heinrich shares on his heart of fasting. I was going to play it, but we're really running out of time. And I'm going to share it on, it was shared on the comms group this week, the YouTube one that speaks about his heart on fasting. Heinrich's heart for this year is that we come and then we praise the Lord. He's calling us as shofar back to praise Him. And one of those things that we did back then was, for 7 years, there was a team of guys that drove around the South African borders praying and proclaiming God. Why? They did tar trek. They literally on bicycles, and they proclaimed the Lord. And that's how the gospel has spread over South Africa during that time. Not only through shofar, through many other people. One of the other ways was, and this is also forms part of our stepping out vision that the Lord has gave us, is that coast to coast, do you remember coast to coast missions, where the team would go in December when the beaches are full and have out just outside praise and worship evenings and just people coming to the Lord. And that's how most of our churches were planted in the smaller towns as well. So the Lord's really calling us, and this is what Heinrich's feeling. So Isaiah 26 verse speaks about verse 1 to 4 speaks about the walls and how God is calling us to come back to the walls. So it's just going to read it fast quickly. In that day, this is song will be sung in the land of Judah, where a strong city who sets up salvation as walls of bulwarks. Open the gates of the righteous nations that the faith may enter. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is our everlasting rock. So the heart behind it is that as we praise the Lord, coming back to the praise time, as the worshippers goes in front and praise God, and we praise the Lord for his faithfulness, that we will boldly step out proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once we boldly step out to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as the promise is given here, that the perfect peace would be with us, that we will experience that perfect peace, which is Jesus. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And as the peace of God fills our heart during this time, may we boldly step out proclaiming Jesus to the world out there. Okay, so I'm going to pray for us. And then in your own time this week or today, when you have time, just listen to Heinrich's heart. He's our SOFA international leader. This is a global prayer and fast. We're all doing it collectively. Yes, it's good that we individually fast together, but as a collective church movement, it's also important that we lay our hearts before the Lord to say, Lord, you are our God and we follow you. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ, that we know that we have been set free, we have been redeemed, we are made new, and we are no longer the old, Lord, because we are made new by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can enter into your throne room boldly and receive mercy and grace in the time of this. Father, we thank you that we can come into your courts with praise in our hearts, for you have overcome this world, and therefore we are the righteous of God. And therefore, we are able to walk boldly into this world, proclaiming the good news that you died for each and every single person out there. I pray, Lord, that during this time of prayer and fast, God, that as we pray and as we seek and as we say to our bodies that our flesh is not in control, Father, that the light of you will shine so brightly to us, Lord, that people will start asking us questions. And I pray, Lord, for godly encounters in the name of Jesus Christ with colleagues, with neighbors, with every single person we come into contact with this week. And our Father, I thank you that as we pray and fast, that we will have the joy in us, Lord, that only comes from you. We love you so much, Jesus. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pour some in the coffee. Thank you for being patient with me. 10 minutes. I kept